And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A committee of the Alaska Legislature will hire a law firm to investigate the recent firing of Angela Rodell from her position as Executive Director of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Legislative Budget and Audit Committee Chair Natasha von Imhoff explained the decision at a committee meeting yesterday.
It is this committee's goal that the fund is protected from political intervention or manipulation to ensure the fund's continued growth and sustainability.
Von Imhoff is a Republican senator from Anchorage. The investigation will examine the circumstances of Rodell's firing and whether there were improper actions or undue political influence by board members or by Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration. The Permanent Funds Board fired Rodell on December 9th. Dunleavy has said he had no knowledge of or influence over the firing. Board Chair Craig Richards has said Rodell was an at-will employee and cited negative evaluations of Rodell's performance. He has declined to provide more details, saying it's a confidential personnel matter. The committee also authorized issuing subpoenas in the investigation. Von Imhoff says she plans to keep a hands-off approach, but will work with the investigators to decide if people who decline to talk should be compelled to by subpoena. Rodell's firing has drawn scrutiny from lawmakers who have noted the fund grew by $30 billion while Rodell led it. The contract with the law firm, which the committee plans to finalize next week, will be for up to $100,000. The committee was unanimous in supporting the investigation and subpoena authority. Von Imhoff says she hopes the investigative report will be completed before the end of the legislative session, since there may be legislation proposed as a result of the report. A pair of organizations based in Juneau are getting $4 million in federal housing grants to make homes safer. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is giving $2 million each to the Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority and to the nonprofit Alaska Heat Smart. They applied for their grants separately but have complementary programs targeting a lot of the same households, so they're working together.
We're both looking at remediating lower-income family homes and making them both healthier and safer to those folks who live in them.
That's Andy Romanoff, executive director of Alaska Heat Smart. It's the first time it's received one of HUD's Healthy Home Grants. Alaska Heat Smart serves households in Juneau and focuses on heating and energy efficiency improvements to make them greener and cheaper to keep warm. That also fits HUD's goal with the grant. Warm, dry homes are safer and healthier than cold, humid ones, especially when it comes to respiratory illnesses. Jackie Kusine Pata is the CEO of the Housing Authority, which has received Healthy Home grants several times before. She says the Housing Authority's Healthy Home program covers lots of communities in Southeast Alaska, but is specifically for tribal citizens. It tends to cover more general repairs like plumbing, addressing mold, fixing roofs, and replacing floors.
We've heard from our participants time and time again that just the simple act of removing the carpet out of the home, what a difference it made to the number of colds that they've had, anybody who had asthma, their respiratory condition. And they were surprised how much better they felt. And they didn't even realize how bad it was infecting them until that was taken out.
Both organizations are putting together a single application for their two programs. They think they'll be ready to start taking Healthy Homes applications in about 2 months. The Alaska Marine Highway System is calling up the ferry Taslina to serve Southeast Alaska's Upper Panhandle. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the state had chartered passenger ships to fill gaps in winter ferry service, but those can't move cars or freight needed in some communities.
The state's Taslina ferry is coming to the rescue of several communities in Southeast Alaska, each with their own unique transportation challenges. Sam Daptsevich, a Transportation Department spokesperson, says the Taslina will be in action in February and March.
It'll be running to Angoon, Gustavus, Hoonah, Haines, and Skagway out of Juneau. We're really happy that we could make this work for Northern Panhandle communities, and bookings are available on the website and through the call center.
That's welcome news, as Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast Villages were facing more than a two-month gap in winter service. Shane Thompson co-owns Angoon Trading Company, the village's grocery store, which is supplied by the state's ferries.
Everything from soup to nuts, everything that's not hazmat.
Angoon had just received a passenger ferry after the state chartered one of the Gold Belt Inc.'s catamarans for a circuit between Juneau, Tenakee Springs, Angoon, and back to Juneau. It cost the state about $7,000. But Thompson says the one-way trip wasn't that popular.
I mean, you know, people aren't going to hop on a ferry if there's not a way to get back other than flying, because a lot of the people that ride the ferry don't like to fly.
Angoon doesn't have an airport. It has float planes, which are often delayed in the winter, and the chartered boats couldn't carry vehicles or pallets of groceries for Thompson's store.
I don't think the catamarans are the answer this time of year, by the way.
He's chartering a landing craft to bring in supplies until the state ferry arrives on February 10th. Questions have swirled for more than 2 months over whether the state would activate the Taslina, which has been tied up in Juneau's Auk Bay as the fleet's reserve ship. Erling Wally is with the Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific, the largest of the three crew unions.
We brought this up months ago. We're like, hey, why don't we run the Taslina? It's supposed to be a ready reserve vessel.
The Alaska Marine Highway System says the Taslina wasn't available earlier because of crew shortages. Dapsevich says many of the fleet's crew members were already assigned to ships in the yard.
Even if we have enough crew to pull off of overhauled ships, that slows down their overhaul process, which ends up affecting people in the future. So,
but the IBU's Erling Wally says there's more to the story. For one, DOT allowed some of the Taslina's certificates to lapse, even though it was supposed to be a ready reserve vessel, and so it couldn't immediately sail.
That was the first issue, and then they said there was crewing issues. We've always said that there hasn't been any crewing issues, that there should be able to pull people off other vessels and yards if there is a crew shortage on the beach. You know, people, when I say on the beach, people not working.
But in any event, he says his members are glad that they're finally being called back to work. In Angoon, Shane Thompson, the grocery store owner, says the community is relieved to be getting regular winter service. He says rider demand in the warmer months might be higher overall, but midwinter is when it's a lifeline.
I feel like instead of trying to treat the ferry system like some sort of pseudo cruise line, they need to start pulling them offline in the spring or in the fall, so that in the dead of winter we actually have ferry service when we really need it.
The Matanuska ferry is slated to return from overhaul at the end of January, and with the Taslina now on the board, most Southeast communities will have regular ferry service for at least the next couple months. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The Alaska legislature has rejected a proposal that would have increased lawmakers' salaries but reduced the amount they get for living expenses, known as per diems. Several legislators cited the cost of living in Juneau for their votes. The per diem payments aren't taxed, so the proposed cut in per diems was more than twice as much as the salary increase. Representative Kathy Tilton, a Wasilla Republican, says the cost involved with relocating to Juneau for the session could prevent some people from running for office.
We all are aware that the costs coming to Juneau are very high, especially for those of us who have other homes that we may be paying mortgages, and then we come and we have another rent.
Senator Donnie Olson, a Golovin Democrat, says he's concerned with how this would affect lower-income Alaskans who are thinking of running.
Because right now in my district, there are very few people that have the external resources to come on down here, to have two households, to have a family.
All members present in both chambers voted against the plan, which would have capped the amount legislators receive for living expenses at $100 per day in the regular session. That's in contrast with just over $300 per day this year. The recommendations would also have raised the pay of commissioners of state departments and the lieutenant governor. They were made by the State Officers Compensation Commission. Under state law, the commission's plan would have gone into effect unless the legislature rejected it. The Senate voted to block the changes on Wednesday, one day after the bill rejecting the plan was introduced. The House voted on the bill Thursday. The governors of Alaska and Texas have sued to block the U.S. Department of Defense from mandating COVID-19 vaccines for National Guard members who are under state command. The Pentagon has required COVID-19 vaccination for all service members, including the National Guard and Reserve. Attorneys for Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy and Texas Governor Greg Abbott say that in the amended lawsuit dated on Tuesday, that when the National Guard members are serving the state, the federal government has no command authority. The Department of Defense did not immediately respond to a request for comment. A federal judge in Oklahoma last month ruled against that state in its lawsuit challenging vaccine mandates for Guard members. We're looking at a rainy weekend. Rain could be heavy tonight with up to 2 inches. Saturday will be rainy too, with warmer than normal temperatures, high near 42. Sunday's precip could fall as snow before 9 a.m., but then turn to rain, high near 37 on Sunday. The rain clears out Sunday night. Cooler, drier weather is coming next week. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high near 26. We've gotten more than 11 inches of precipitation in Juneau this month. That's more than twice what's normal for January, and there's still a few days left to go. This is KTOO News.